Once again, take your Bibles and turn to Revelation as we continue this study on the Church of Thyatira. We are going to spend some time in review, maybe a little more than usual today, but I think it's important for us to understand what is taking place in this church and is still taking place today. We're going to read the full section on the Church of Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2, beginning to read with the 18th verse. "And to the angel of the Church of Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and thy charity, and thy service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last is more to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her unto great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come together. I praise you for those beautiful hymns. I thank you for the message that Sue read. I thank you for the special that was played during the offertory. It's a beautiful day, a wonderful day to come. I thank you most of all for your precious word that is before us. And please that you will guide and lead us as we search these words, these scripture verses, your living word. What a joy it is to be a believer in Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be free. Free from my sin, set free from the bondage that it has, and knowing that my home will be eternally in heaven with you. And Father, we thank and praise you for the grace that you have shown us. We also thank you for the grace that you have shown this country, this land, for so many years. And we ask that this land turn back to you and the people of this land, that they will come and serve you and praise you, that this joy and this privilege of freedom can continue. Please, dear Father, we know that it's your hand that is holding it. And so we ask that this nation be a nation that will come before you and will bow down before you, and they'll come in a spirit of humility, of humiliation. Please, dear Lord, that you will look and see their hearts and their hearts be turned to you, and you can bless us and use us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have looked this past week basically at the 18th and just part of the 19th verse. But we need to, I believe, take one more quick look to remember these names. We started with the center of that verse, looked at that being the Son of God. And remember, we looked at names of Jesus, which was Jesus and Christ and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. We read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 on the names that are given there, Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then we looked at those words, the Son of Man. And when we looked at the Son of Man in relationship to the Son of God. Now, in the beginning, John speaks as the Son said, the Son of Man. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. And the Son of Man is the humanity of our Lord. And so we need to see that his relationship to mankind, that's the title that we hold here, Son of Man. But here it is Son of God. And the reason that I wanted to review this is because it's so important that we see that we keep Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he is the head of the church and no other. And that is what's happening here with this group that's coming into the church of Thyatira, and you can surely see how it has taken place in all the world today. They have forgotten who Jesus is. And when we see the title here, Son of God, it's his deity and his relationship to Almighty God. And that is found here. And we need to see the importance and why that he is titled in this church, the Church of Thyatira, in such a manner. It's because they have left the knowing that he is God. They have forgotten that. And so we need to see this this power and this strength. Why that God changed it when he is written here, Son of God, is because, again, the name of Jesus, Son of God, deity, they have taken that out. And we looked last week that this is the birth, this is the beginning, Jezebel, as we look in the next verse there, we have some things against thee. And this word Jezebel is the birth of the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. And we talked about an ability that Jezebel had, that she had a gift. The sad thing is that she used that gift to her own glory and not to the glory of God. She had the ability to bring things together. Now, what a wonderful work if she would have done it for the purpose of furthering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To use that ability to be able to take different sides and bring them together, only not compromising the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But you see, she didn't care that she compromised Christianity. She didn't care that she compromised Judaism. And what she did was brought the world, or heathenism, brought the world in, and she tied it all together. She brought the world, heathenism, Christianity, and Judaism, and she melded them all together. Doesn't that sound like something that we've had in the past few years called Promise Keepers? Sounds just like it, doesn't it? So you see, they have just kept coming. Satan found out that he can do more damage on the inside than fighting from the outside. He comes in among us, and he gets us to compromise. And that's exactly what we have here. We have a mixture of this heathenism, Christianity, and Judaism. And Jezebel, or a woman like her, had that ability, and it was the destruction and the failure of the church of Thyatira. It will also be the judgment and the failure of every church, whether it's got the name Catholic on the door of it or not. It does not matter, because anyone that has removed the Lord Jesus from the leadership position is bound and doomed to fail. This church here, Thyatira, was during the Dark Ages. It was the time when the Pope began to take power. It was the time that they began clearly to deny the Word of God and come up with their own power and their own strength. And so you see with this coming, and Rome believed in unity. But the problem is that the unity, the way they controlled and believed and brought unity, was to bring it by imprisonment, by death, by the sword. All these are ways that they, by persecution, is how they held them in and received the demands and got the demands that they wanted. And so all this took place during this time period, and it's again from about 500 to 1500, A.D. is when this took place. So we understand why that God changed the name to Son of God here instead of Son of Man, because he wanted the people in Thyatira to know that he was God, and it was important that he understood that he was first there. We know that as this comes, that judgment will come upon them. We are told by James chapter 2, verse 18, "Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And we have that in this next section of Scripture here, in the 19th verse there. "I know thy works, thy charity, thy service, thy faith, thy patience." God, with his all-knowing eyes and all-knowing, he understands everything and he sees everything. He sees all the work that is going on, and he comes to give accommodation to that. The works that these folks that stayed true to the gospel were doing were good works. They were works that they were doing not for salvation, but to further the gospel. And we need to be busy about that. It was done out of love. And this word charity here, even though they had such persecution and they were going into such a ritualism, and that's exactly what was coming, and we still have that today in many churches, but we think of it more in the Catholicism and in the Catholic Church with all the statues and everything. And you know, today, why you have a saint that you pray to for this and a saint that you pray to for that. I don't pray to any man alive or dead. I pray to the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here is the beginning of putting a man, an organization here on earth that seems to be the mediator between. Our mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the faith. The strength that they do, we said that it is the mainspring that turns the hands of work and love. We talked about faith as the driving force. And then we have, back to service, the ministry. We have the patience, the endurance to go through these dark days and just keep on keeping on. And that's what these people did. They had a lot of reasons to quit, but they didn't quit. And it's said here that as they continued, that the works become greater of those that continue to stay true and to stay in service. Now again, Jezebel brought this paganism unto the northern kingdom of Israel. And in this local church here, there was a woman, someone that was equal like her, that took the same position, the same teaching. We have the beginning here of the praying to the Virgin Mary, of the special power of the child of purgatory, of the power and rule of the Pope. All those things took place. And it was the word here in the middle of verse 20 is to seduce my servants. And that word seduce is mean to depart from the truth. This prophetess that we have here in this church, she came with authority, and she was not given the authority by the church. She come and she says, "I am a prophetess," and she began to teach, and she began to do it with great authority. And the church at that time should have gotten a hold of her and thrown her out the back door as far as they could throw her and never let her back in. But instead of that, they allowed her within that church to continue to teach the lies and the deception that she had. And she began to seduce the minds of the people, began to train them, and they began to believe her lies instead of the truth of the Word of God. And that's what happened in the church of Thyatira. It can happen in any church, anytime, anywhere. when you leave the truth, when you leave the Word of God. Whether it's here in the pulpit or it's on the radio program or things that we all have, the messages we have on the website, it comes from the Word of God. And you can go to the Word, you can study the Word, you can search the Word, and it's going to bring you to salvation. It'll grow you in Jesus Christ if you know it, or you're going to stand without any kind of defense because you have been aware and made known of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you come here or if you listen to the radio program or anything that we have on the website brings you to Christ. You know, if you come and you listen and you listen and you listen and you continue to reject it, then it's not long that either you leave because you don't like to hear the gospel any longer, or you will begin to try to change what we have. And most churches would rather, instead of losing people, the numbers are more important, the offering is more important, and so they compromise. Well, yes, you can do this. You can come and you can teach. I know that you don't believe what we believe, but it doesn't matter, but it does matter. And if we allow that to go on here, if any church allows that to go on, the lampstand is drawn out, is taken out. And when the lampstand leaves, it means the power of the Spirit of God is gone. The convicting of the Holy Spirit upon the souls are gone. Lives don't change. Nobody gets saved. Everything stays the same, only gets more and more worldly as the days go by. Today we find that Rome, it was at the time, you know, it's been this way for many years, and they say, here, the mother church. They are the one in control. When Rome says the church, she means the Roman system, because it is not based upon the Word of God. They use the Bible, but they use it as a tool to accomplish what they want, not to surrender to a holy God. The church of Rome is the church. All other churches and denominations are wrong. They're the only one that is not in error. They are the ones that's right. Rome claims to be the church. Rome claims to be the authority. Rome claims to be infallible. But Rome dreads the light of the Word of God, and they fear the Bible. She comes to seduce, to take from the truth and teach them lies. And there have been masses of people, millions of people, in not only the Catholic Church, but many other churches that have left the Word of God, and they teach salvation by works, not by grace. They can connect something so simple as baptism. Well, that's, you know, we need to be baptized after we're saved. So what's wrong with that? It's wrong when you require that for salvation. Then it becomes works. And you go from there all the way to the opposite end, the far-reaching end of some of the religions that are there. Rome, as an instance, they teach you to pray to Mary, not to the Lord Jesus. They teach of these things. And we need to be praying to our Lord and not unto Mary. Jesus Christ is our mediator, our intercessor. You can go to 1 Timothy 2:5, Romans 8:34 and find those things. Rome has led millions to follow the Pope. I couldn't believe here in a few years ago as he was in St. Louis. They sent buses from this area down. Catholic and non-Catholics went to see this man. What is it about this man that's special? He's a man. But you see, once you're taught a lie long enough, it becomes a truth to you. You repeat that lie over and over and over again, and finally it transfers from being a lie over to a truth, and you never know the difference. You never know the difference. whether it's consciously or subconsciously, millions of people have left the Lord Jesus Christ as being the head and the leader. There is but one God. There is but one church. There is but one door, and that is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now we come on down into this 20th verse, and it lists two words, fornication and adultery and idolatry. These two satanic deadly evils were taught in this place, the church of Thyatira. Fornication symbolizes the professing Christian living in the world, fellowshipping with the world. Heathenism and Christianity. And that's what's come together. And they've thrown in a little bit of Judaism. So we have all three of those all mixed up. And it's become a truth to much of the known world. You ask somebody if this place or this church is right. Well, they do it a little bit differently, but they're not wrong. Well, let's see what the Word of God says. Let's don't look at man's opinion, but let's look to see what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says it's wrong, then it's wrong, and it should not be taught in these churches. This brings judgment. Jesus Christ is the head and the foundation of the New Testament church. Other foundations can no man lay, which is already laid. Jesus Christ the Lord is that foundation. All worship, all prayer, all service, all gifts need to be in His name, to His honor, to His glory. And they are to be given from our heart out of love. We need to continue, not from fear, but from love. All religions, every religion around the globe can be put into two categories. If you would have a catalog, and that catalog would have a heading, and that heading had just, you could do it in just two categories. Two. There is the religion over here, and then there's Christianity over here. Every religion, everyone that is not true Christianity is driven by fear. It can be titled fear underneath it. Everything. You are forced to serve. You're required to serve. You're required to give. All the things are out of fear. But true Christianity is driven by love and is the only one. The only one. It is driven out of love. God loved us first and gave His only begotten Son. All we have to do is receive that and then begin to serve Him and trust and be held safe and feel safe in the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. True Christianity is much more than a religion. I don't know about you folks, but I don't like it when somebody says, boy, I know Larry's religious. It's kind of like when somebody calls me reverend. I don't care for that either. But they think they're giving you a compliment. They think it's not a statement of something that's evil or mean. It's they think it's good. But you see, to be a Christian is much more than that. To be a Christian is to serve, to praise, and to know the living God. All other religions are man-made. They are built on everything.
You know,
Christ is not second to Mary. Christ is not second to some bishop or to any preacher or evangelist, to the Pope, to anyone. Jesus Christ is the head. And we need to praise him and honor him and serve him and bow down to him. He will judge the quick and the dead. He pleased his Father when he went to the cross of Calvary and he shed his blood. He broke his body as was nailed to that cross. And then he entered with that precious blood into the Holy of Holies. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, you and I have life. No other can give life. Through that same power, we are also kept. We find in verse 21 that God gave her room to repent. And we know that through all of history, Rome has never repented. Rome has never turned their eyes unto the living God. They have continued to lift up and believe in man-made things. No one gave this woman the position. Jezebel set herself up. Rome set herself up. But that doesn't make it right. God's been long-suffering with Rome. And it says, she will not repent. The scripture says, she will not repent. Not that she cannot, but that she will not. And it continues, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her with great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. There are three parties involved here: Jezebel, those who committed the fornication with her, and her children, the offspring, as a result of this. I will kill them with death. It will be a physical death. It will be a spiritual death. Tormented forever in the lake of fire. That's what happens to everyone that has been deceived by Rome. But it's also to everyone that rejects the gospel. You don't have to just join another church and say, boy, they're wrong. It's individual. You must be a part of the true church, the universal church, the church that when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, then you come. And we don't come compromising, bringing some of my worldliness and some of my Christianity and then some of something else that I bring all together. Okay, now we're going to build a church here. We build a church. The foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the head and the foundation. He's both. We try to build on anything else. And these three parties will be held responsible. In the last part of verse 23, it says, and the world will know, will learn who judges and who forgives. In verse 23, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works. And that word reigns there means your innermost mind. So I'm going to search your mind, I'm going to search your heart, and God's going to know. There is one representative on this earth, and that representative is the Holy Spirit. We do not have a man that is God's representative, and that's what the Pope has taken that place in his position. The Holy Spirit is that. I have several things here in closing. We'll go through them very quickly. The Holy Spirit, we are convicted through the power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7 and 9. We are born of the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 5 and 7. We are baptized in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. We are led by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 14. We are assured by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 16. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 9. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4, 30. God's representative upon this earth is not a man, is not a woman, is not an organization, but it is the Holy Spirit. You want to be saved? You come by faith to Jesus. You want to have his power and his strength, his wisdom and his knowledge. Come by faith today to Jesus Christ. Begin to serve him and praise him and honor him. Saved by grace, rewarded for our works, 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. There are degrees of rewards, if you'll read that in 1 Corinthians. There are also degrees of torment for those that choose not to. And I know some individuals that have heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel and walked out of these doors not trusting in Jesus Christ. And their condemnation and their degree of torment, they think they have pain and suffering today. That pain and suffering will never end. It will just continue day in, day out, in darkness and in the screams of others. Oh, my friend, hell is real. Satan is real. Are you going to surrender to Jesus Christ today, or are you going to laugh it off? You will stand before him someday. And when you stand before him, you will bow down and you will know and confess that he is Lord and Savior. And then your doom will be set. You'll be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. It doesn't matter. You can weep and cry before him and it's not going to do a bit of good because the decision's done. Let's be busy. As we have been out to the cemeteries, or you're going out to the cemeteries, look at all those tombstones and know that behind them and below is body after body after body. When I walk across the cemetery where most of my family's buried, I don't know. They sure didn't make it known to me that they knew Jesus as their Savior. I do know my dad is in hell today because he rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was told, he was asked, he was begged. I have my catechism. I have my church membership. I have my infant baptism. That's all I need. He was lied to as a youth. And he held on to that lie, and he trusted it as a truth. How many of you got folks that have died not knowing Jesus? How many of you got folks that are alive that don't know Jesus? They're the ones that count. There's nothing we can do about those that are dead. Nothing. Nothing. But my friend, those that are alive, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth. They don't need to hear some mingled mess that talks about the worldliness and the church and have four or five different things all blended together. We were up Fairfield years ago. They were starting a church up there, and we went door to door, and we ran into a fruitcake that he was trying to take the Buddha and Christianity and Judaism and make them all together. He was a Jezebelite. He was a mess. Couldn't get off his porch fast enough. Oh, educated man? A fool. But my friend, you're no different if you don't trust in Jesus today. The Word of God says you're a fool. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious Word. I just ask you that you'll just touch all of our hearts today, every one of us. You know the need. You know where it's at. You do the calling. And we know that we don't have to go to some man. And Father, we know that nobody has to come down this aisle and talk to me about salvation, because that salvation can come into their heart right where they're sitting right now. They'll just call upon you. But Father, it's a wonderful opportunity we have not only to trust in you, but then come publicly and say, I know Jesus is my Savior. I want to follow in baptism. I want to show this family here that I know Jesus and I want to serve him and praise him. What an exciting day it would be if that happens. But Father, You give us a choice. You give us a choice to serve. You give us a choice to come by faith to you for salvation. You give us all these choices. And they're all given to us from the love of your precious heart. Please, let's trust in that love. Trust in that salvation that you give us through your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he died on the cross to save us. Then he rose again to give us life. Thank you today, Father, for all the blessings that you pour on us. Please, now touch every heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.